Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is recording number 81 in this series entitled, Do You Love Your Soul? Learning How to Celebrate Your Soul's Special Moments. This class was recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 21st of Kislev, 5760.
First chapter of Tanya, Perek Lamed Aleph, is dedicated to the theme of how we may introduce into our lives real feelings of joy, ecstasy, and serenity. Who doesn't need that? Notwithstanding the fact that from the Alter Rebbe's perspective, we ought at times to acknowledge and experience the ugly part of ourselves and not to deny that part. When you become smug, careless, lifeless, there's sadness that comes from certain causes, which he discussed in earlier chapters. But then there's a sadness that comes just for the sake of being sad. Like when you stop caring, uninspired, unmotivated, you know that feeling, or rather lack of feeling. Then, the Alter Rebbe said, in chapter 29, you have to get nasty with yourself. You have to get nasty with the inflated ego that is paralyzing your emotions. You have to call it on its ugliness. You have to tell it what it really is. You have to shout at it, rage against it, punch it in its face. And thus it gets deflated. And the resulted sadness is also removed. And your heart becomes alive again. Despite this, simultaneously, the Alter Rebbe said, this very notion is also a cause for true celebration and serenity. How? He's not telling you to deny the fact. So how can I discover joy within this type of meditation? You see, one of the primary things we learn from Tanya, from many chapters, specifically this chapter, is how we terribly underestimate ourselves. Often we treat ourselves as if we were merely physical human beings with physical needs, materialistic desires, period. Indeed, this is a part of who we are, no question. It's a true part of who we are, physical beings driven by physical aspirations and needs. But nevertheless, an external part. Essentially, we are spiritual beings. We need transcendence. We need absoluteness. We need truth. We need godliness and eternity. These needs never go away. They never change. Many things in life can change, but this is the essential makeup. This is real. This is the most real part of ourselves. They are what constitute our true identity as human beings and as Jews. We need to be good. We need to be holy. We need to be godly. True, we have a body, and that body has a motor. The animal soul, that is the motor of our physical life. But we also have a transcendental motor. A motor that drives us to search, to yearn for transcendence, which seeks to be godly. And if we are not godly, we're living a dysfunctional life. A life disconnected from the very nature of ourselves. We can never be happy, according to the Alter Rebbe, if we don't acknowledge this. If a person does not acknowledge his transcendental component and his need for it and nourish it, we're disconnected from ourselves. One of the greatest colleagues of the Alter Rebbe, who both studied at the feet of the great Maggid of Mizritch, was of course the Rebbe, Rebbe Elimelech of Luzhensk, one of the greatest Hasidic masters of his time. One Friday afternoon, the Rebbe, Rebbe Melech, went to the local Beis Hamerchitz, to the local bathhouse and the mikveh, to wash up and immerse himself in the mikveh in the honor of the upcoming Shabbos. In the mikveh, he encountered a Jew, and observing him, he realized that he's not a resident of Luzhensk. So he turns to the Jew, he says, Reb Yid, von wannen kommt a Yid? From where do you come? From where does a Jew come? And the Jew responds, I'm from Hungary. So the Rebbe Reb Melech says, tell me, what brings a Jew from Hungary to Luzhensk? So he says, I came to see the holy face of one of the tzaddikim of our generation, the holy of holies, the Rebbe Reb Melech of Luzhensk. So Reb Melech says, I thought only Poland was dominated by such falsehood. I now see that the Alma, the Shikra, the false world, has overwhelmed even places like Hungary. To there too, these false rumors have traveled. The Jew became agitated. How do you say these words? He tells Reb Melech. You're dealing here with one of the holiest people of our generation, one of the greatest leaders in tzaddikim, the spiritual pillars of our world. Reb Melech says, I know this guy personally. He's despicable. He's a sinner. The Jew was a sensitive Yid. He slaps him. He couldn't contain himself. He says, Du mechutzef, you chutzpinyak, you're a lowlife. How do you dare open your mouth saying these words against Sadik Yisraelim, the foundation of our generation? And he starts describing to him the punishments that are awaiting him in the world to come for using this vocabulary. And he says, you should not only be thrown out of the mikveh, you should be excommunicated from the community and be thrown out of the city and so forth. Shite, they part ways, and each goes to his home. The system in Luzhensk was that right before Shabbos, all the guests and residents would go into the Rebbe Reb Melech to greet him and give him shalom. So this Jew waited online. It came his turn to greet the Rebbe, and the door is opened, and he comes into the room, and he beholds the face of the Rebbe Reb Melech. So he faints. He's revived. He begins crying. He says, Rebbe, I'm so sorry. I didn't know who you are. I really want to ask forgiveness. I would have never said those words. I thought you stam a guy off the street embarrassing the Rebbe. And he's weeping. He can't come to himself. He was so grieved. The Rebbe Reb Melech smiles and calms him down. He says, don't worry about it. No need to ask for forgiveness. No need whatsoever. Everything I said about myself in the mikveh was 100% true. And everything you said about me was also true. A I saw once the story written with another interpretation. Literally, it's interpreted as everything I said about myself is true, and everything you said about me there was also true. Chassidim in other places, Chassidim transcribed a story with apparently another interpretation. Most probably they're both accurate, or one of them is accurate, whatever it may be. That is what he said. They're both true. What I said about myself is true. And what you said about me, about the Rebbe Reb Melech, is also true. And obviously, not on the same level, but both of these elements are true about every Jew as well. We indeed have a animalistic motor that can be very lowly and ugly, but simultaneously, a Jew also has a very spiritual and godly and transcendental heavenly selfless part. The Holy Reb Aaron of Karlin once said that the greatest tragedy in life is when a Jew forgets that he is the son or the daughter of a king. When we begin thinking, when I begin thinking that I'm merely a piece of trash, and I treat myself that way, I begin believing that what am I about? I'm all about cravings, lusts, impulses, drives. Sometimes I'm a more refined one, sometimes I'm a more coarse one, sometimes even a more vulgar one, and so forth. That's the biggest tragedy. It exists, but Alter Rebbe keeps on calling it klipa. It's a shell. And a shell means it's covering. It's covering yourself. It's covering your true needs and wants, your soul. Now this soul existed for who knows how many years prior to our being born in the physical world. But it existed in another type of environment. It existed in a godly oasis. It was formed. It was raised in a transcendental palace, if you may wish. It lived, it breathed, it digested, it ate only godliness. That was its reality. Then it came down. And it enters into the body. It enters into the body and it meets its neighbor, its partner. Who is that? The animal soul. The second motor, the motor of our physical life. It encounters its host, the body, the whole mundane world that it grows up in. And what happens so often is it's ignored. It's sometimes even rejected. Very often it's not part of the equation of ourself. So this most essential, precious element in the human being is sometimes totally ignored and no consideration is given to it. That's very sad. It's tragic. It's even abusive and so forth. Zagda Alter Rebbe, when we realize, when one realizes, when I realize, when you realize, how much unholiness I have in my life, even if it's just because of the very fact that which Hashem finds repulsive, I find exciting, which is something true even concerning the Beinoni of the Tanya, who doesn't commit a sin, but nevertheless experiences many lusts and cravings to sin, so thus by definition his condition is of such that what Hashem finds abominable, he finds appealing, he finds exciting. So that demonstrates to him the dysfunctionality of his soul and its remoteness from true reality. When the person realizes all of this, says the Alter Rebbe, and you contemplate this, and you have to in order to put the ego in its place and to deflate the paralyzing force that is hindering your emotions, now, says the Alter Rebbe, now take a peek at your soul. Everyone, take a peek at your soul. Imagine you hear the voice of an innocent child, young child, locked up in a cell. heaven forbid, the child is weeping, crying, scared, begging for its liberation. If you're a half a mensch, even if you're very busy, and even if you have many other concerns, you put your heart and your soul into the task of breaking down the door and freeing that innocent, pure child. Zogt Alter Rebbe, the same condition is true about your own inner child. In Zohar and in Chassidus, the neshama is called Nar, our inner child. Give it some attention. Take it, embrace it, give it a kiss. Grant it all the attention it deserves, it needs, it wants. Make your home on earth a home similar and identical to the home your inner child experienced for who knows how many years. You can make your physical environment, your home, your space, the same environment where the soul felt comfortable, where it was free, where it was happy, where it was ecstatic. The base of Yibinira, in her youth, in the home of her father. At every moment of my soul, Zogt Alter Rebbe, I can address, at every moment of my life, I can address my soul and say, soul, I love you. I care for you. I value you. You're special to me. Every moment of my life, I can give it back its identity. And I give it back its identity through a life of Torah and mitzvahs. Those are the instruments through which the soul rediscovers itself, through which it finds expression, through which it feels at home and it comes back home. So do you know how special that is? It's like taking, as he said, a prince out of a dark dungeon, out of a trash dump, and bringing him back to his father. So I know that I have tons of ugly cravings constantly burning in my heart, in my mind, in my soul. I know a lot of unholiness. I have a lot of unholiness in me, even the Beinoni. Certainly those who don't reach the level of the Beinoni, although they have the potential. I know that every hour on the hour there are dark components, whatever they may be called, demons, cravings, drives, that are absolutely unholy. True. And this is part of an honest introspection into my heart, into my psyche. I realize this. But the Alter Rebbe says, at this very moment, celebrate, because shift the focus for a moment. At this moment, you can access your soul, remain loyal to it, tell it that you love it, and give it what it needs. So on the contrary, the greater the temptations, the more the despicableness, the greater the joy of the soul if it can get out of such a lowly place and find expression. So when the person comes and feels so empty, Alter Rebbe says, embracing now the soul is so much more special because it's there, it's part of you. Don't succumb to the fact that you're exclusively a piece of physical, mundane lowliness. That is untrue. And this ability to access it, we have every moment of our life. And from here comes a source of celebration. During every moment of your life, even if your plane is delayed. I mentioned that example specifically. Even if your plane is delayed, even if you have a long line in the bank, even if you got stuck in traffic. This is a source of celebrating life. Every single moment of our day and overnight and our night. There can be various frustrations in the world, Zogt Alter Rebbe, but turn to your soul. And your true self can now experience liberation. It needs transcendence. Give it transcendence. And transcendence you could give it even in airports and even in gas stations and even in banks and even in traffic and certainly in more holy spiritual environments. If my identity is only my material needs at the moment, indeed, then happiness fluctuates. If I have what I need at the moment, I'm happy. If not, I'm depressed, and so on and so forth. But when we get in tune with the inner child and we learn to value it, that is a cause for celebration. You know how the inner child feels. You know how the soul feels. Don't underestimate it. When the body is in pain and you give it what it needs, it feels good. Now imagine the soul. And it reciprocates. It reciprocates love. This is the meaning, he said, in the words of Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara is Akhtan Shabbos. Kol yomov b'tshuva. A person should engage all his days in tshuva. The Alter Rebbe says tshuva is not just a process that deals with sins. Tshuva is a perpetual process that must pervade every moment of our lives. You constantly have to be doing tshuva. Because tshuva doesn't only mean repentance over sins. Tshuva means returning. Restoring. Going back home. And the soul is always in need of finding its real home in this world. Now let's continue inside.
The source of the ego, yeah. All those wonderful temptations, it's not born in us in reality. It's Olam Hazeh. So what we're taught is going to create our ego, our negativity.
You're asking about the source of the animal soul. Well, we're born with it, and we're born with a susceptibility to...
But understanding that it's not...
Cravings.
See,
there's no one born exclusively with a divine soul. Even the tzaddik. We're all born with an inherent dichotomy. What Alter Rebbe does teach in Tanya is that the animal soul inherently does not crave evil. It can learn to crave evil very fast, which it usually does. But the tzaddik takes the motor for physical life and sublimates it and transforms it into a partner of the divine soul. So it experiences the yearnings of the divine soul and just implements it physically. But in the case of the average human being, according to the Alter Rebbe, most people can't reach that level and we remain dichotomized.
But dichotomized only because we agree with what goes on in our own Olam Hazeh. In our own little world. We enjoy that, but it's not... What I'm saying is it's not necessarily... Like we said a couple weeks ago, if someone was brought up... If I was brought up in your shoes, that would be different. So my nefesh and hamas would be different too. I mean,
true.
So it's, but the nefesh elokis is born into us. That is part of us.
Right.
So that's why I'm saying that it's not even really in us. So how is it a dichotomy? It's not really, it's an illusion.
I usually don't get that question. People wonder about the other thing. Yitain is b'chol no nefesh b'hamas. I don't know.
It's an illusion that
we're
brought up with.
So Zayn Azay, deal with it.
I'm saying it's easier to deal with it if it's looked at that way, isn't it?
Yeah, but the Taivas Brennan. Of course, the earlier chapters dealt with the fact how reality by definition equals the word Achdus Hashem, which means another word for reality is Hashem's unity. But there was a process of tzimtzum and concealment and so on and so forth that produces realities, creatures, beings, energies that conceal the all-pervading reality of Hashem and experience themselves as arbitrary, as self-efficient, as separate, as fragmented, and as lowly beings. And the Nefesh HaBahamas is a product of one of those energy called Klipas Naiga. That's the whole point, that those urgent material needs present themselves as urgent, as immediate, as all-encompassing. But Alter Rebbe says, who are you? What are your essential needs? What is the real thing? The real thing is transcendent spirituality. That doesn't change. Let's go weiter. So this is the source of joy, the above-mentioned idea. Page 80, the second line, Daf Mem Amud Beis. Here he asks a big question. Although the body, the physical self, may remain abominable and loathsome, and as the Zohar says, the Nikra Mishchad Chivya, that it's called a serpent skin. That's the term the Zohar uses for the body, because the term serpent, nachash, chivya in Aramaic is nachash, a serpent, refers to the three utterly unclean klipais, the opaque shells that absolutely obscure any ray of divine energy. And that is the impurity that attached itself to Adam HaRishon and Chava as a result of them falling prey to the temptations of the serpent. The body of the Jew, which receives its energy not from the three unclean opaque shells, but from the translucent shell, Klipas Naiga, as discussed at length in the earlier chapters of Tanya, is thus defined as Mishcha Dechivya, as the skin of the serpent, the outer shell, so to speak, of the serpent, which can be removed and sublimated to holiness. So even though the body remains, even in this meditation and experience, abominable, defined as the skin of the serpent, key because muhu savatzmu sushala nefesh abahamas loy nepach letoy v'likolol b'gdusha, since the essential character of the animal soul has not been transformed to good, so that it might be absorbed into the realm of holiness, because we are dealing here about a beinoni, and a beinoni to the best never transforms the essential identity of the egotistical animal soul. Its garments, the powers of thought, speech, and action, they are exclusively pervaded by the identity of the divine soul. But his inner space, his inner eye, is dichotomized between the two perceptions. On the contrary, his revealed consciousness, his instinctive response to things, is that of the animal soul. So if so, he asked the question, how can you truly rejoice? It's not like the prince who was taken out of the dark dungeon and out of the trash dump who was totally liberated. It's not like the child who was released from its prison, from its cell, who was absolutely liberated. Here, there is still so much undesirable. Furthermore, the guv, the body, may scream that this is not liberation, introducing transcendence in your life. It's oppression. It's not freedom. It's dogma. It's not liberation. It's enslavement. The body might be shouting that when you're telling your soul, I love you. And the body is saying, you're, what are you loving? Zagdal Terebbe Mikol Makayim. Nevertheless, Tikar, listen to the words, Tikar Nafshe Be'enov, let his soul be precious in his eyes, L'smayach B'simchasa, to rejoice in her joy, Yaisim Me'haguf HaNivza, let it be more precious to him, more than his despicable physical self and body. Shaloi la'arve v'levalbel simchas ha'nefesh be'tzavin ha'guf, so as not to confuse and disturb the joy of the soul with the sadness on account of the body. Let your soul be precious in your eyes. Let its experiences, its needs, its liberation be valuable. So even though the body and all that's connected with it may indeed evoke a sense of sadness, a sense of melancholy to some degree, let that not disturb the awesome joy you're experiencing because of the liberation of your soul. True, the materialistic self can cause sadness, but the soul is precious. So tell yourself, I'm ugly, but I'm also beautiful. And now I want to focus on my beauty. I know I have a lot of traps. I know I have a lot of distortions. I know I have a lot of issues. I know that my ego could be very unhealthy. Conceal my true nature, my true identity, conceal my true energy, conceal what constitutes my own truth, my own good, and the true energy of the cosmos. But nevertheless, I want to now focus on my beauty, which is actually the essential me. So the soul is now being liberated. The soul is now being embraced. Let's party with the soul. It Reb Naftali Rabshitzer, one of the great Hasidic masters of Naftali Rabshitzer, was a very sharp, had a very sharp tongue. And he said, never has a man prevailed over me in a discussion besides one simple Jewish peasant who was a shoemaker. Reb Naftali Rabshitzer was known for some very sharp and keen sayings and anecdotes. For example, he was once walking in the streets of Rabshitz, and this chassan, who just got married, was walking down the streets wearing this beautiful fur coat, this Rebbesha aristocratic and royal garment, and walking with a whole entourage of people, his father and his father-in-law and uncles and brothers-in-law and sisters-in-law and aunts and babas and zaydas, everyone is walking, accompanying the king and so forth. So Reb Naftali Rabshitzer was either on the way to the mikveh or coming back from the mikveh, and he was a little short man. So he runs over to the chassan and he says, I don't belong to you. Ich belong nicht zu dir, and he runs away. So although they were walking very slow and royal, but they became very curious. They say, Rebbe, Rebbe, komm zurück. He was on his way, so one of them chased after the Rebbe. Rebbe, what do you mean? He said, I see the chassan walking, thinking and certain as the ganze Welt belongs to him, the whole world belongs to him. So I just wanted to tell him that my Naftali Rabshitzer, ich belong nicht zu. He said, no one was ever victorious over me besides one shoemaker on Simchas Torah. He says, one year in Simchas Torah, I see people are dancing with the Sefer Torah by Hakafas, during Hakafas and Shul. And this Jew, his heart is on fire. His mom is dancing with such ecstasy and joy, jumping and dancing. His whole soul was imbued in the experience. He was sweating and jumping, involved, heart, soul, every fiber of his being was involved in the dancing. So I walked over to him and I says, Yid, I don't understand. Meila Yid, who studied and learned Torah all year round, I can understand the celebrating the Torah, but I know you personally. You didn't open up a Sefer of Torah all year. You didn't come once to Shir. So how are you dancing? So the Yid turns to Reb Naftali, he says, Rebbe, Rebbe, tell me, and if my brother makes a wedding, I'm not allowed to dance. If my brother marries off a girl, a daughter or a son, I'm not allowed to dance at his chasna. Now here, it's not even a brother. Here it's myself. It's a deeper self. It's a truer self. So maybe there's another part that I don't have to celebrate and be the happiest person about. But this is the part I should really celebrate. It's not just my brother's wedding, it's my own. My soul's party. Let's continue. Vihine. Line 7. Vihine, Zogdal Terebbe, now, Pchinezu, this form of service, this form of divine service. Which form? In which the divine soul breaks free of its exile within the body. While the body and the animal soul might remain in their lowly state, he pchinas yitzias mitzrayim. This is analogous, this is reflected